Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. All right. We're going to talk this morning about seeking the Lord. How many truly want to seek the Lord? You know, you're in church this morning, you'd be a fool not to raise your hand, right? Amen? Because we're here to seek the Lord. That's our purpose. But there are some things that we need to do in our lives sometimes to make sure that we're seeking the Lord properly. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." What are you looking for? Are you truly looking for the Lord? If you are looking for him, you will find him. There is no doubt about it. But, you know, there's still things in our lives that God has expectation of us dealing with and ways that we can draw closer to him. You know, in the summertime, we have two different species of birds around our house. One is the turkey buzzards. You've all seen the turkey buzzards. They eat carrion, they eat dead things. So they're always circling around looking for something nasty and dead. And guess what? They find it. Because that's what they're looking for. On the other hand, we have hummingbirds. Then I put out a feeder for our hummingbirds. They're cute little things. They zip around all over the place. And hummingbirds are looking for flowers, beautiful things, and sweet nectar. And they like that sweet sugar water that I put out for them. They're looking for something good, and they find it. Now, when we start looking, we must have the right perspective in our life. We must stop looking for the bad things, because there's a lot of bad things out there. But the Word of God tells us specifically that we're supposed to think on the good things. Think on these things that are good and righteous and holy. Get your mind away from the evil things, and let's think about the good things. The Church of Jesus Christ has a responsibility, and that is to share the good things of God. The gospel, which is good news. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And we must be very careful that we do not get caught up in the things of the world, the direction of the world, the arguments of the world. But when you seek the Lord, when you call out to the Lord, he hears you and he will show up. Pastor Kevin Sylvester was here while we were visiting. He shared with me his salvation story, which he had never shared that with me before. But he said that he was into drugs and alcohol, and his life was just heading for a train wreck. And he knew it. He realized it. And he said he cried out. He said, "Jesus, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, come into my life." And he said immediately, the Holy Spirit showed up. Jesus came. He said he never felt a peace like that before in his life, and he knew that the Lord was there. You see, we sometimes, and I do believe that it's important that we recognize that we're sinners and we need to confess Jesus before men, but sometimes we make this thing too difficult. If you cry out to the Lord, "Jesus, are you there? Are you real? If you are, I want you to come into my life." That was, you know, that wasn't necessarily the sinner's prayer, was it? But it happened because he truly, in his heart, he was seeking the Lord, seeking him with all his heart. This morning, we're going to look at Asa, king of Israel, and look at his life and some of the things that he did to seek the Lord. Because it says in this scripture, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 with me. He He truly sought the Lord because it says Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. That's verse 1. Let's read 1 through 5. Or verse, I guess that's actually verse 2 in chapter 14. We'll read 2 through 5. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. What was the first thing he did to seek the Lord? He got rid of all the false gods, the idols, in his life and in the life of the people of Israel. It's very important that that's the first thing we must do, is to do good and right before the Lord. And doing good and right, part of that is making sure that we have nothing that is more important to us than our Lord, our God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. With every part of your being, you must love the Lord your God." So for us, that means that we have to search ourselves always, constantly, as believers in Jesus Christ, making sure that we're not allowing ourselves to set up any kind of idol, anything that is more important to us than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus, he's filled with the Spirit, and he goes out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And one of the things that the devil tempts him with is to worship him. To worship him and to fall down before him rather than worship the living God. Have a different God. And Jesus says to him in verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." An idol is anything in our life that is more important to us than Jesus Christ. And listen to me, in this world, this secular world, this materialistic world that we live in, we battle that. Every one of us have this battle of having things that come along in our life that might take over our desires and our passions rather than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be anything. It can be. And we need to be careful because, you know, this is the one that I have to be careful with. I love my wife. I love my family. And if I'm not careful, I'll idolize them over my God. And it's not wrong. You see, it's not wrong to love your family. It's not wrong to put them first in your life. But it is wrong to put them above your God. And many of you might think, well, how could that be an idol? But it certainly can be. There are many things that are, work can be an idol. A career. If you're pursuing that career with so much passion that you forget about the things that are important, worshiping God, prayer, reading the Word of God. And in that case, then sometimes we get our priorities out of order and we forget that our family is supposed to be in there in that order as well. God, spouse, family, church. You know, there is an order of things in the kingdom of God. Idols can also include ministry. If you're not careful, you can prefer a ministry over what God desires you to do. We can get very concentrated on what we think God has gifted us with. And sometimes what we think we're gifted with is not exactly what God intends to use us in. we must be very careful that we hear from God, His direction. Ministry is an important part of being a believer in Jesus Christ. God is looking for servants that will humbly serve Him in any way that He calls them to. I've had people many times in the past come to me and say, "Pastor Rob, I'm here to serve. I'm going to serve you. I'm just committed to this church." You know, and then when you say, "Okay, I'll tell you what we need help with. We need you to clean the toilets." For some reason, not many people want to clean toilets. I wonder why. But if you're not willing to clean toilets, you're not willing to serve God in any capacity that He has called you to. Listen, we're all servants. There isn't any one of us, including Pastor Rob, that shouldn't be willing to grab that brush and go in and clean those toilets when it needs to be done. God has called us to be a team, to work together, to accomplish His goals and His vision. Seeking the Lord means that you deny, you forego, you give up many of your preferences for what Christ desires. Before anything is truly of God and can be born of God, I believe our own preferences have to be put aside. They have to die. There are so many things in this life that I had a desire to do. Directions that it was my desire to do it, not necessarily God's desire. God's will and God's direction was without a doubt, I know this for sure, even though I buck it many times, is to be a pastor and pastor this church. Now, I want you all to understand something. I don't have any desire to build a kingdom. I don't have a kingdom and I don't want a kingdom. I want to do God's work and God's kingdom work. But I have absolutely no desire to go to a bigger church to further my career, because it's not a career, it's a calling. I don't even have that deep desire to go to other countries and preach to thousands. What I have a desire to do is fulfill the ministry that God has called me to here at Bethel. That's what I... Now, if God wants me to go do other things, I hope not. But if He does, we'll all go together, right? Amen. So B under this topic is do justly and love mercy. Micah chapter 6:8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, it's really simple. It's always been that simple, even in the Old Testament. What did God require of them? To do justly and love mercy, to walk humbly with God, to treat people properly, to love other people, put people first. The word justly, the Hebrew word here, mishpat, means a verdict, favorable or unfavorable. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, justly is acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good. Now, that's one definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary for justly. There's a bunch of them, but this is the one that most applies to this word that is the way it's being used here in this particular context. Acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good. It is rendering a verdict, a judgment, regardless of the outcome, as long as that judgment is correct. In the context of this verse, it means to make sure you are not trying to take advantage of other people. Make sure that you're putting other people first all the time. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're told to do. That you render a proper verdict in every situation that you're in. That you choose to do what is best for the other person, not for you. My wife is a very, very giving person. One of the most giving people that I know of. But I can tell you this, if she feels like you're taking advantage of her, look out. She don't like that. Now, she does not hold a grudge. And you make sure you understand that. But she doesn't like it when someone tries to take advantage of her or anyone else. I hate it when I see people being taken advantage of. And we're seeing a lot of that in our world today. There's a lot of injustice going on. And when I talk about injustice, I'm talking about the kind of justice that God renders, not the world's justice. Not social justice that the world wants to pour out on us, that the state wants to put on us. I'm talking about God's kind of justice. The God justice is pure and right and righteous justice. How many of you have seen the TV show American Pickers? Some of you have, okay. You see, Mike and Frank go all over the place and they find all kinds of stuff, and you know, Tammy and I, she used to watch it more than I did. I watch it once in a while. It's interesting to see the things that they come up with. But one of the things that I have noticed with them, and realize this is a TV show, so you know all America, United States is watching them. So it's probably important that they act this way. But what I have seen from them is that if they think that someone is asking less for an item than they should be, they'll say, no, I'll give you, the last time I watched it, he gave them $100 more than they were asking, because he said, I think it's worth that. And they're very knowledgeable about all those things. So they're rendering proper justice, even though it costs them more. They could have made more money, but that they're rendering proper justice. And once again, I'll say it's a television program. So it's probably important that they do that. But that's a part, that's what we're talking about. That you render the proper justice toward people no matter what. How many times have you ever seen somebody who would gloat over taking advantage of someone? Oh, I really got him. You know, I'll give you $100 for that thing. And then when they walk away, they say, boy, I really got it. I stole that. They're like, that's injustice. I have known Christians in the past, no one in here, who when they walk away from the teller and or the store clerk in the store checking them through, who gave them $10, $15, $20 more than they should have. Instead of returning it, they take it and they say, look what I got. That's injustice. We have to be aware of what justice and injustice is. Do not treat people with injustice. Sometimes when we treat people with justice, it will cost you. It'll cost you deeply, but it's worth it in the scheme of things, in the way God does things. He also says mercy is important. Hasid is the Hebrew word kindness, being kind even when other person does not deserve it. In Matthew 22, Jesus is confronted by a lawyer, a Pharisee, a man of law. And he asked him, Master, what's the great commandment in the law? He's trying to catch Jesus up. And Jesus said to him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It's one of the Ten Commandments. This is the first and great commandment. But then Jesus goes on to say, the second is like it, just like it, he says. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's pretty simple to live this Christian life if we love the Lord and love people. Because you won't do anything. If you love God, He's our Heavenly Father, you will do everything you can to please Him. And if you love Him, you're going to love people and do whatever is good and right for them. Loving our neighbor means that we're more interested in mercy and justice for other people than we are for ourselves. High school basketball player's mom had just passed away like a day before the game, and the young man was late getting to the game, and he was sat on the bench, and the game, it was a close game, it was tied, and the young man wanted to go in the game, and the coach knew if he put him in, it was a technical foul because he had showed up late. It's the rules. But under the circumstances, he knew that it was the best thing to do. So he put the young man in the game. Of course, the officials had no other recourse but to call a technical foul. The other team said, no, we don't want to take it, because they knew the circumstances, situation. The officials insisted. It's the law. It's the rules. You got to follow the rules. So he insisted. The coach of the other team went over and said, I need a volunteer to shoot fouls. The captain of the team raised his hand. He said, I'll do it. He was the best foul shooter on the team. He walked up to the foul line. He took a couple of dribbles, and his first shot went about 2 feet from him. His second shot went about 2 feet, or about 1 foot. He just barely threw it. He wasn't trying. He was showing some mercy in this situation. Now remember, the game was tied. When the game was over, the team that had the young man that had lost his mother ended up winning the game by 2 points, which could have tied the game overall with those free throw shots. But to those young men, it was much more important to show mercy to a fellow athlete. That's a good example for us. Who are we looking out for? We really should be looking out for others more than we look out for ourselves. Second thing you need to do is build and prosper. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Hold on just a minute. See how much time I've got. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 6 through 8. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Now, they were preparing for physical war. But I want to liken this into our spiritual preparation for spiritual battle. Because I know that that's exactly what is necessary for the body of Christ, to be prepared for whatever comes our way. Sometimes we have peace, we have rest. You know, here at Bethel right now, I would say we're in a time of peace and rest. We're at rest spiritually, but we need to be careful that we do not let our guard down. See, Asa was wise enough to know that when you have a time of rest, you need to prepare, because that's not always going to last. There are seasons in our life. There are times where we go through times of rest and we go through times of trouble. That's just what the world, that's just the way the world is. That's what this life is all about. Ups and downs, mountains and valleys. It's not whether you're going through a valley or not. How are you going to handle that valley when you go through it? Are you going to trust in the Lord? And we'll talk more about that as well. Build and prosper. The writer here seems to be telling us, and go back to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." John is telling us that he wants our soul to prosper above all else. That means our spiritual life should prosper. The writer seems to be telling us that soul prosperity is the absolute most important thing in our life. There's never a time to take a spiritual vacation. How many would say amen to that? And yet, when we're going through these easy times, we have a tendency to kick back and rest. Oh, this is good. It's pleasant. This is going to last forever. But it does not. The biblical mandate is for us that when we're going through the good times, to dig in and prepare for the tough times. Ephesians 6:13 tells us, "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand." And the next verse starts out with, "Stand therefore." I like what the New Living Translation says. "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in a time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm." Put on the armor. Prepare for the battle, because the battle is coming. There's going to be a time of battle. Some of you are probably going through the battle right now. Some of you may not be. Maybe this is a good time, a good season in your life. But I can just guarantee you this, there is going to be a battle. There's always a time of battle. And that's because God wants to strengthen us. Be consistent with your spiritual growth. The times of trouble was coming. Jesus made sure that we understood that. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As long as we're in this world, we're going to have tribulation or trouble. But our King, hallelujah, has overcome this world that we live in. Hallelujah. Our responsibility is to put on the armor of God. George Barna did a survey. He explored seven dimensions of spiritual development and growth in the body of Christ. And he had people take this survey, and he had a five-point scale. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but I'll tell you what Barna's outcome was, what he believes. He concluded that most people do not feel as if they are learning enough about God, the Christian faith, or their role in the world. But not only that, most of them don't even care. They don't care. Most of the body of Christ just has an apathy about spiritual growth. Maybe we have had it too easy for too long in this country, but don't count on it always being that way. The enemy desires your soul. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to destroy you. The only way to be able to stand after the battle, to remain standing, is to be spiritually prepared with the armor of God. To know, to draw close, to seek your God every day. I don't know what's coming, what the future holds, but I can tell you this, I can discern the signs of the time. The enemy is mounting an offensive. But take heart. Jesus has overcome the enemy. Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has come Even though the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, he's come that you'll have life and have it more abundantly. Even in the midst of the turmoil, the chaos, the trouble, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I thought I'd get an amen for that. Hallelujah. Whoa. Well, thank you for that patty cake. But listen, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. I must have lulled you to sleep there for a minute, huh? Hallelujah. It's time to wake up. The third thing I want to talk to you this morning about is trust the Lord. 2 Chronicles 14:9-11. Then Zeruiah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Mareshah. As Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephirah in Mareshah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us. O Lord our God, we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God, and do not let man prevail against you. Asa cried out to the Lord. That's one of the ways he was seeking the Lord. He got rid of the idols. He prepared himself spiritually and physically. But he also put his trust in the Lord. He knew who to trust, not the arm of man. Now, let me tell you something. Later on in Asa's life, he did just the opposite. When he got older, he put trust in the Syrian army rather than in God. And God struck him because of that, left him. But in this case, he put his trust in the living God. And he cried out to God. And God showed up on their behalf. It's vital that we trust God in time of trouble. Cry out to him. He is the only help in the time of trouble. Absolutely. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. David also writes in Psalms 37, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He is our strength in the time of trouble. Who are we looking for? Who are we seeking? Who are we trusting in? Trust in the Lord God. I have a dog. His name is Max. Max drives me crazy sometimes. When I come home, sometimes after being away, he chews up my water hose. I had my trailer hooked to my truck. He chewed the electric cord off between my truck and my... He went to the back of our house, and for some reason, our TV cable box, he tore it off the wall and chewed the cable into. Max drives me nuts. Now, praise God, he's getting better. He's a black lab mix. So I guess black labs have a tendency to do that. But, often Tammy has said, that's it, we're getting rid of him. We're getting rid of him. I have to talk her out of it. Because as crazy as he makes me, I still love Max. And you know what? Max loves me. You know, no matter how mad I get at him, how frustrated I become and how many times I yell at him and sometimes I have to put him in his kennel and make him stay there for hours. When I let him out, you know the first thing Max does? Comes over and wants to get close to me. He wants to be in my face. Any place I go, he wants to be there. He just wants to be with me. And he overlooks the fact that I have to discipline him sometimes, because evidently he realizes, I don't know what he realizes. All I know, he's a dog. He's a dog that seems to love me no matter what I do. But God sometimes has to put us in our kennel, you know? He has to discipline us and get us back on track. But listen, when he lets us out, what we should do, the first thing we should do is run to God, get up in his face and lick his face and get as close to him as we can. Amen. Because God wants to know how much we love him. And I do love him, and I chase after him, and I trust in him. I trust in him in time of trouble. Many of you know some of the trouble, the difficulties that we've gone through in the past with our family, with the church, with other, all kinds of things that life throws at you. Praise God, we've been able to stand. You have stood with us. And I think that's an important part of this. When we see, it wasn't just Asa, it was the whole army, the whole nation of Israel, of Judah, not Israel, the whole nation of Judah that stood in the midst of that battle and cried out to the Lord God, help us in time of trouble. That's what we do for each other. Help us. Help those, Father God, who are in need right now. Touch those who are sick and afflicted. Pray for them regularly. Lift up this church. Lift up the leadership. Stand together. When we build each other up spiritually, we will stand and continue to stand. And after the battle, we will still be standing. Amen. Hallelujah. Last thing I want to share with you is reap rewards. We can reap some rewards when we seek the Lord. Verse 12 through 15 in that same chapter. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover. For they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. There was a reward for trusting in the Lord. The enemy, they didn't attack the enemy. The enemy attacked them. So they had a right to defend themselves. But because they trusted in the Lord gave them a great plunder and a great spoil. Everything that the enemy had, he gave it over to them. Everything that the enemy has stolen from you. When we go through battles, when the enemy steals things from us, God wants us to stand on his word and recognize that he wants to reward us and give back to us sevenfold what the enemy has stolen. But we have to stand. We have to trust in the Lord. And we have to know that he is on our side, because he wants to reward his people. Now, we're all confident that the Lord is going to reward his people in the life hereafter. We know that. But we also know, we need to understand that God wants to reward his people here and now. In Hosea 10:12, sow for yourself righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. He wants to rain righteousness on you. Yeah, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, absolutely, there's going to be a great reward. He's going to say to all of us who have stood faithfully, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. And then he's going to give us rewards for serving him. Not, you know, there's not going to be more rewards for one person than the other, and we're not going to care about them. It's going to be based on our faithfulness to the Lord, what He called us to do, and how faithful we have been to fulfill it. In Psalms 34:10, it says, the young lion lacks and suffers hunger. But those, listen carefully, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Will not lack any good thing. When we put our trust in the Lord, He will reward us. Listen, I'm not telling you you're not going to go through tough times. I'm not telling you you're not going to have trouble and difficulties. But God has a reward on the other side. In chapter 18, Peter comes to Jesus. He's concerned that his sacrifice of giving up everything to follow Jesus, it won't be rewarded. And Jesus said to him, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in the present time and in the age to come eternal life. So as we see this, we can understand that we've been promised, yes, we're going to have rewards in eternal life, but He's also promised us rewards in this life. It don't always look the way we want it to look. It don't always feel the way we want it to feel. But it's always God's will to reward His people. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, he was talking about everything that the world seeks after, will be added to you. How is that? Well, first of all, we have to have our priorities in order. Seek first the kingdom. And when we seek first the kingdom, God's not opposed to you having stuff. He's opposed to stuff having you. And when it controls you, you're in trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. During the Civil War, a Union soldier from Ohio was wounded in the arm. And his captain took his gun and said, "Soldier, go to the rear of the battle." So he took off. They were heading north. And he took off south. And as he went south, he ran into another skirmish there. So he decided to go east, and he went east, and there was more battle going on there. He went west, and there was more battle. Finally, he ran back to his officer, and he said, "Give me back my gun. There ain't no rear to this battle. Nowhere. My point is, there ain't no rear to this battle we're in. You can't go to the back and hide out. We have to confront the enemy head on. But when we do so knowing that we are already victorious in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.